ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Rachel Brown, and in all my time reporting on crime and courts for the ABC, I've seen a lot of monsters. But this crime chilled me more than the others. The man behind it, a pilot you wouldn't think twice about if you met him on the street. Someone who flies under the radar. Someone with secrets simmering just below the surface. Huntsman, the latest season of the ABC's true crime podcast, Unravel. Hear Unravel now on the ABC Listen app.
Australia's renewable energy transition is well underway, with new poles, wires and transmission towers planned across the country. But some farmers say they're being pressured and harassed into handing over land for the infrastructure to get electricity from where it's generated to where it's used. Today, reporter Alicia Thomas-Sam from the ABC's 7:30 program on the farmers pushing back at the farm gate, and climate reporter Jess Davis on whether it's already too late to change course. I'm Sydney Peed. On Gadigal Land, Sydney, this is ABC News Daily. Alicia, you've been reporting on a flashpoint around the renewable transition in Western Victoria, where a multi-billion dollar power line project has been causing a lot of strife with farmers. So just tell me, what is going on there?
Yeah, that's right, Sydney. I've been out in the Wimmera region and the Mallee region in northwest Victoria. It's a huge, very flat farming area south of the range of the Mallee Scrub, east of the South Australia border and north of the Great Dividing Range. Many of the farmers out there farm grain. It's a big sheep industry as well. A lot of the farmers I spoke to grow lentils, actually, and they are really angry.
We're not just going to roll over and take this. That's not going to happen.
We're not going to give in. People power will win.
They're upset over a plan to build a number of transmission towers on their land.
Okay, and the builders of this project, they're trying to get access to some of these farms where the proposed towers will be located.
So the project is known as the VNI West, and it's estimated to cross about 250 private properties. Now, staff from the state government agency VicGrid have been trying to enter farms to conduct ecological surveys. And VicGrid says it's to identify wildlife habitats and vegetation that could be affected by the project. It's one of the many surveys they have planned over the next year. But some farmers are just flat out refusing them entry to their properties.
It's led to some really tense confrontations at the farm gates.
Yeah, I went to a gate protest, as it's known, at a property in Manu, 280 kilometres northwest of Melbourne.
So you're telling us to suck eggs?
I grew up on this. I'm not telling you to suck
eggs.
You're
telling us to suck eggs.
I completely appreciate that you don't have transmission lines, and I don't blame you for not wanting them. But that doesn't mean that as a society, we need this power.
No, you don't.
Well, we do.
A VicGrid liaison officer, Craig, accompanied by a security guard, was trying to gain entry to this particular property. The farmers were just not having it, yelling at him, telling him, just get in your car and leave, mate. We've denied you access.
Look, this is not going to happen, mate. We've been negotiating for 2 years and we've consistently told you that you're not coming on.
Trent Carter, who owned the property, just flat out said access denied.
We're here today to conduct that survey. I'd ask you if you all kindly move to the side and allow us access to the property to conduct that survey.
Access denied.
Where's your ID?
It was heating up, it was nerve-wracking, and eventually Craig said, we do have the power to come back and access your land and we'll be back soon.
We're sick of it. You look at these people. These people are lining up here to get rid of your project and you're just taunting us by doing
this. Harassment.
Alicia, what is it about this project that's got farmers so angry? You mentioned you were speaking with Trent Carter. He's a wool and sheep meat producer and he's dead against it.
Well, Trent has been farming in the area for six generations. That's a long time. They've been farming sheep and crops, and he hopes his sons, Henry and Charles, will continue the legacy. So he's worried on a few fronts, that the towers will just carve up his entire property and his sons won't get to enjoy it, or they won't have the same production level. And in turn, this will affect his family financially down the line.
You know, like right where they're going, that's where we've brought the kids up, having barbecues with other local families as well. It's a beautiful part of a farm. We're going to become a monument of stupidity, yeah, just with steel structures everywhere.
Another farmer I sat down with, his name is Andrew Peverill. He's also against the project and lives in Glenloth, which is about an hour north of Trent's property. The power lines are planned where his sheep graze, and he says it will cut his farm in about half.
That's very stressful. I haven't been sleeping very well lately. And it's not only once, they've three times they've given me a dates of three dates they're coming. So I've still got one more to go. Yeah, farming's stressful enough without this on top of it.
Okay, Alicia, but these farmers, they are being offered compensation just for access for the surveys to be done. And there's more cash on offer if the transmission towers are built, right?
Yeah, that's right. These landowners have been offered compensation for turning over their land to these transmission towers, including Andrew and Trent. VicRid has also offered up to $20,000 for land access to conduct surveys. But for Trent, it's just money he refuses to accept. They don't want the towers at all.
Look, the costs, their payment schemes, I couldn't even tell you what it totals. Don't care, it's not about money. It's about the longevity of our business, our great country that we live on.
And adding to all that, Alicia, is this new Victorian legislation, which is giving VicGrid new powers to access these properties without the owner's permission. Just tell me about that.
Look, in August, the Victorian State Government passed legislation giving VicGrid new powers to force access to farmland for the construction of these new transmission lines. Now, if the farmers continue to refuse, they face consequences. That includes fines of up to $6,000. It really annoyed some of the farmers who at this point say they feel harassed, they feel pressured into allowing access. Trent says he'll cop the fines, he will just not allow them on his land.
And what did the builders of the project have to say about this?
Well, we spoke to Alistair Parker, who is the chief executive of VicGrid, which is coordinating the development of the V&I West. He says they don't want to upset landholders, but despite the challenges, slowing down was not an option.
It's too important. We will keep working away at this and respectfully and safely, but it's a really vital project for Victoria.
Okay, Alicia, I want to learn a little more about these transmission towers and lines. It's a government-backed project that will run through a number of private properties, but it's part of this state and national push, right, to rewire the country for renewables.
So basically, the V&I West and another project called the Western Renewables Link are critical parts of the Australian Energy Market Operator's plan to rewire the nation to help transport energy between states as more renewables come online. Earlier this year, the Victorian State Government released its Victorian Transmission Plan. So that's as part of its goal to reach its target of 65% renewable energy generation by 2030 and an even bigger target of 95% by 2035. So these targets are creating sort of a pressure system. And the feeling on the ground in the regions for these farmers or landowners is that the process feels rushed.
Okay, so we've got this sort of tension happening between these farmers and the government. So what is going to happen at Wimmera and Mallee? The farmers are adamant that VicGrid can't put power lines on their property, but the Victorian government has given authorities these powers to demand access. So what happens next?
It's tough. It's a tug of war, isn't it, between ideas. From the ground, when I was there, the farmers don't look like they're going to back down. I think what will happen next is VicGrid will start handing out on-the-spot fines if landowners keep denying access. Andrew, the farmer I interviewed, said he simply can't afford a fine.
I'll fight it to the end, but I don't want to take a fine. So I don't know how that'll go. Or end up in jail.
It won't be a good look for the government to start fining farmers, demanding access, and potentially being escorted by Victoria Police onto properties. So it'll be interesting if this is politically damaging. In saying that, I can't see the Victorian state government backing down from this project. In their words, in VicGrid's words, it's too vital to be scrapped.
I'm Jess Davis and I'm the climate reporter for the ABC and actually live in Western Victoria where some of these projects are being proposed.
Jess, you've been looking at the realities of the green energy transition across Australia. What kind of impact are these pockets of opposition to the transmission projects having on the rollout? It's causing delays, right?
It's important to keep in mind that while there are pockets of opposition, it's not the only reason there have been delays in these transmission projects. Global supply chains and skilled worker shortages are playing a big part in that delay. A complex regulatory environment is also often cited as a reason these projects are moving slowly. Despite the opposition, the work hasn't stopped. For example, VicGrid are continuing to conduct environmental surveys on the 165 properties that have signed up voluntarily while they continue to engage with those who are opposed. Only 29 have denied access. There are, of course, environmental concerns that they need to satisfy, but a big part of the reason that these projects go through farmland is because it's already been cleared for agriculture. Now, that doesn't mean that these new routes will be impact-free, but if it was to be rerouted, that could actually have a much bigger impact on biodiversity and require more land to be cleared.
Well, the high cost of electricity is really worrying a lot of people, and it's something the Federal Coalition has really jumped on. They even junked their net zero policy over it. We know these transmission project costs are blowing out. Is it going to keep pushing up our power bills?
Unfortunately, yes, at least in the short term. When these transmission projects get the green light from the regulator, their costs are actually passed through electricity bills. And those costs have jumped dramatically. If you take HumeLink, which is the line needed to connect Snowy Hydro 2.0 in New South Wales, it started off at about $1.3 billion and is now at nearly $4.9 billion. The idea is that once the infrastructure is built and renewables are fully integrated, bills should stabilise or even fall. And one thing is clear, no one is building new coal-fired power stations in Australia. Scientific experts, including the CSIRO, have found that other options for our energy future, like new coal or gas and nuclear, are more expensive overall. And the International Energy Agency also believes that significant savings will be felt within 10 years for advanced economies that stick to the net zero pathway. They reckon by 2050, household bills will have roughly halved. But right now, households and businesses are carrying a big share of the transition cost, and that's part of the reason this is such a hot political issue.
It certainly caused a lot of controversy, but how important are these transmission lines to the green energy future?
Part of the reason they're needed is not only to transport electricity from one region to another, they're also required so that when there is a lull of wind or solar in one part of the country, we can sell energy elsewhere. So VNI West will be between Victoria and New South Wales, for example, so that if it's a very cloudy day in Victoria, New South Wales can send some of their solar power to Victoria and vice versa. So these big transmission lines will not only provide new electricity generation that's needed to replace coal-fired power, but they will help to stabilise the grid, which is very different to the previous grid and how it worked with coal and gas.
All right, Jess, I want to understand if perhaps this is a question of the greater good, because, you know, we've got these landowners who want to be able to say no versus this green energy transition that's seen as inevitable by governments and a lot of experts. Do you think enough has been done to get support for these projects in the communities where they'll actually be rolling out? Has the government built enough social license for these projects, do you think?
The social licence issue is a really big one and a really important one. And even Vic Gridden, the Victorian government, admit that at the start they could have done a better job of engaging, that perhaps they hadn't considered how the community was going to react to these projects. And so once you've started on a bad foot, it's very hard to walk it back. But the reason VicGrid was established was to try and repair that relationship and to work with landholders to ensure that they do get benefits from these projects. The remuneration for hosting transmission lines is very generous. There will be compensation for any impact on farming operations, for example. I know it's obviously very difficult, but the government does have the power to compulsorily acquire this land. And that's what they will do if they have to. I mean, they don't want to do that. But ultimately, these projects will go ahead, whether these landholders want them to or not.
Jess Davis is the ABC's climate reporter. Alicia Thomas-Sam is a reporter for 7:30. Audio production of this episode by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sydney Peed. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.